The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With the US presidential election today, the world is holding its breath for the result. But for the conflicts in Gaza and in Ukraine, the result might determine everything, with Trump's and Kamala Harris's views on those wars divergent. Joining me now, David Dunn, Professor of International Politics at the University of Birmingham. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about Kamala Harris first of all. Little enough would change in what's going on at the moment were she to win.
She is very much the continuity candidate as part of that foreign policy tradition more broadly. And it really is a question of you know, that sort of contrast, that sort of scale. A policy of alliances, of America's presence in the world on the forward foot, but also supportive of Ukraine, supporter of Israel, and therefore largely continuity Biden.
Now, one of the problems in looking at what Trump is promising, the end to the war in Ukraine, sorting out the Middle East with a few phone calls or whatever it might be, is to look at his own history in regard to the Middle East, what he did with the Abraham's Accords and with withdrawing from the nuclear deal with Iran. You could see the seeds of today's issues in the Middle East actually being sown by Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, Trump makes a big virtue of the fact that he is this wonderful peacemaker on the right. But actually, in many respects, the issues that we're dealing with had the genesis in his administration. The debacle in Afghanistan was his plan for Afghanistan.
He did the deal with the Taliban over the head of the Afghan government.
In an extraordinary way, and also actually released 5,000 prisoners, Taliban prisoners, who immediately ended up on the front line. He pulled out American forces, not just American military forces, but all the contractors from Afghanistan, leaving the Afghan government really incapable of dealing with the onslaught from the Taliban. So every aspect of that deal and that debacle was the consequences of his haste and to get out of Afghanistan without really giving any thought of what he left behind.
Now, there is an argument that in moving the embassy to Jerusalem, in trying to have a detente with the Saudis, in spite of the human rights abuses by the Saudi regime, that he, in a sense, provoked Hamas.
It's very clear that by taking the Abraham Accords forward in the way he did, deliberately leaving out any settlement, any consideration for the Palestinians and for a Palestinian homeland, what he did was move towards the acceptance of Israel within the entire Arab world in a way that actually, in many people's views, provoked Hamas to actually strike in the way they did in order to derail them being left behind. They're fairly explicit in saying what we were doing was derailing the normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia until you take care of us. And actually, in doing so, they've actually been successful in doing that, because Saudi Arabia is saying there can be no ultimate settlement of the Abraham Accords moving forward and a recognition of Israel by Saudi Arabia until there is a recognition of the need to deal with the situation in Palestine. So there is a major connection there. And again, that goes back to the way in which Donald Trump pursued things, not considering the wider picture, not considering, in this case, the Palestinians, and only favoring what was in the interest of Israel.
So going forward with the Trump policy in the Middle East, he clearly favors a fairly autocratic figure like himself in Netanyahu. It's green light for Netanyahu, I presume, under Trump, maybe an amber light from Harris.
I think that's a fair assessment. But what's more, it's worth just digging down on what that green light for Netanyahu may involve. People often characterize Trump as an isolationism. That's half a isolationist. That's half of it. But the America First aspect of it is that he's prepared to actually support wars in America if, in doing so, that would remove a future threat to the United States. So So, for example, in North Korea in 2017, we almost came to war because he was prepared to use potentially nuclear weapons against North Korea to actually destroy its nuclear program and prevent a future threat to America. Similarly, with regard to Israel and Iran, he is prepared to support Israel attacking Iran's nuclear facilities if it's a way of avoiding that being a future threat to America from a nuclear-armed Iran. So what he said is, with regard to Iran, if Israel's going to attack Iran, they should be attacking the nuclear sites because that's the most important target to strike. So it may well be that actually he gives much more of a green light to Netanyahu than we've even imagined up to this point.
Now, moving to a different part of the world, and we're talking about Taiwan, and he has described America's, if you like, defense of Taiwan as like an insurance policy, and he wants Taiwan to pay for that insurance policy.
Yeah, Trump is fundamentally transactional. He doesn't see the benefit of the alliance system that America has relied on for the last 80 years in terms of the political and economic and even military benefit that that gives. He sees it in transactional terms of we're providing you a service and you have to pay for it. But he's also indicated that actually not only where people don't pay, but where there's a liability, the premium should be higher or the premium should be declined, if you like to take that analogy further. And that's where the way in which he views a lot of alliances. And many people think that with regard to Taiwan, that actually if that insurance policy was ever called upon, America wouldn't be there to honor it because the priority of the Trump administration is limiting risk to America. And he sees Taiwan, as he sees NATO, as he sees Ukraine, as a potential source of vulnerability and liability and risk, and the costs are not worth the gain as far as he's concerned. Mm.
I mean, that idea of an isolationist America, except in the limited way you say he will allow for foreign adventures as long as it's in the interests of the survival of the United States as the main global power. But of course, allowing China to take over Taiwan would be the beginning of the decline of America as the preeminent power in that region. China would be very much so.
And there's the irony. Trump talks both of him being the strong man and a strong America and making America great again and making it the preeminent power again. And yet, as part of that assessment, is an assessment that actually America is in a weaker position, and therefore America needs to look at its own priorities, and America needs to pull in its horns somewhat in terms of its international commitments. And that's partly about recognizing that it's challenged by China in a trade sense, in a geopolitical sense, but it's also part about avoiding the risks of war with China, because China is a major military threat, not just to Taiwan and the region, but globally. So those things go back and forward, and there's a schizophrenia in the Trump administration. But if it was the case that actually China were to take Taiwan, then that would reassess the way in which people viewed America around the world as an unreliable defender of its friends and allies. But Trump doesn't seem to be overly concerned about that, because he has partly embraced that idea that America should focus only on its own interests domestically and narrowly, rather than being the standard bearer for an international order or international values.
And obviously with Ukraine, he would pull the plug on munitions and military assistance for Ukraine and do a deal with Putin, which would forfeit Ukrainian territory. But just briefly and finally, David, the question of tariffs, that could be the thing that would be most disruptive to the whole world. He doesn't seem to understand the way tariffs work.
He has a very simplistic idea of what tariffs work, and he has no understanding of how they didn't work in his first administration, because even though he put tariffs on foreign imports, the domestic industries weren't there to fill the gap, and so they had to be found from other sources. But massively disruptive in terms of world trade, and there could be trade wars. I mean, the IMF have even put out two forecasts, one of whether Trump wins, one whether Harris wins, because the impact of his sanctions policy would cut growth across the globe nationally. But I would just disagree with you that that's the most important factor. The most important threat that Trump has is his threat to global warming, because if he drills baby drill, he repeals all of the Biden administration's environmental policies, and if he pulls out of the Paris Accord, that scuppers any attempt to get international agreement on dealing with climate change, and that could be his main legacy.
And the question you have to ask yourself as an American, why should I buy a Tesla if I can burn baby burn? So there you are. David, thank you very much for joining us. David Dunn, Professor of International Politics at the University of Birmingham.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.